Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks so much for being with us. It's a wonderful cold night out there and a good night for a wonderful guest, Samantha Banks, who has a fascinating background. We'll be talking to her in just a minute. But first, tonight's metaphysical moment. I don't like being sick. And at the moment, I've got some little flu-like thing going on. So if my voice gets weird, you'll know why. And as many of you know, I had surgery this summer, and that's like intentionally getting yourself sick. I really don't like it. And I don't think anybody really likes it. But one of the things that we don't usually look at is what are the factors that are unnoticed that we don't think about that may be affecting your immune system, may be affecting what gets you physically sick. And I was just kind of looking at what's gone on in the last week or so and why in the world I would come down with this thing. And my perspective is different from most people, so I thought I might share that with you. So the planet has been going through all kinds of things, and there's been various chaos that you may have noticed, like major snowstorms like we had in New England, earthquakes in strange places, storms of all kinds. And that's among all the other reasons because of solar activity and alignments that are happening for the first time in thousands of years. But it was also the full moon last week, and full moons and new moons do affect people and people that are sensitive, perhaps more than other people. And then there was the 11-11-11 event, or events, because there were events all over the place. And whether 11-11 meant anything by itself, it certainly meant something because there were so many thousands of people focusing on it as a moment of oneness, that there was some symbol about all the ones in that day. And especially 11:11 a.m. or p.m. on 11-11-11. And friends of mine were at one of those events, and I couldn't go, but I kind of reached out psychically to them, so I was part of that event. And a number of other things happened. And then on Monday, I started not feeling so good, but I didn't believe I was getting sick. I thought, you know, I'm allergic to gluten. Maybe I ate some wheat somewhere that I didn't realize I ate and my joints were hurting, that kind of thing. And we all go through those things, but we don't often look back at it and say, well, what were all the non-physical, energetic, emotional, planetary kinds of influences that have set us up to have our immune system a little bit compromised so that we got sick? And, you know, I'm not real sick. I'm getting well quickly because that's what I do. But it just was one of those moments that I took to look at it and go, oh, yeah, there's all this other stuff that makes up the entry point for something else to happen, and then you get sick. So it's cold and flu season. Take really good care of yourselves. And one of the ways to take care of yourselves is emotionally and spiritually so that it never gets physical. So that's this evening's metaphysical musing. And now let's talk to my wonderful guest, Samantha Banks, who has very interesting credits, including being a shaman and a priestess. So we have a lot to learn from you. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for such a lovely introduction. I appreciate that. I have a lot to share. My metaphysical background is quite extensive, and I have been working diligently on this path for 6 years to get to know myself and all those aspects of myself as a shaman and as a priestess and as a human God being. And I certainly learned a lot. It was interesting to me listening to you talk about, you know, your metaphysical musings with illness and you know, how that happens. And I just personally have gone through that myself. And it everything starts in the mind, everything. So as a shaman, I find that particularly interesting, especially when I get sick.
Right.
It's certainly something I look at, and I always look at all of the events in my life to see what it is that I can learn so that I can share.
Yeah, and, you know, and it winds up feeling like you're second-guessing yourself all the time, but it also is another way to learn about what affects you and what affects other people in the world.
Of course, of course. Human beings learn through experience. That's what we came here to do, to have these different experiences.
Right. Wisdom comes from experience, and experience comes from lack of wisdom. So one of the things I ask everyone who introduces themselves as a shaman or a shamanic practitioner is, what is your definition, understanding of what shamanism is and the role of the shaman?
Okay, that's a really good question, because there's so many different areas of study, and spirituality has really kind of taken off in the last couple of years because people are searching for answers within themselves. The path I took to become a shaman is with an organization or a school called the Modern Mystery School. Now, in my experience, a shaman is somebody who has learned through a lineaged path the ways of energy and the elements and how all of that works together, the mental bodies, the emotional bodies, the soul body, the astral, and works and studies that through a tried and tested lineage. And so the tools that I have in my shamanic bag aren't anything that I have created or added to or changed. They have over 3,000 years of lineage behind them. They actually come from the temple of King Solomon. Therefore, they work. So shamanism comes from lineage. It comes from the authority of lineage. And and I'm very, very proud of my lineage because it's just the tools that we have are just so amazing.
And I'm familiar. I don't know if I mentioned this in our email conversations, but I know the Mystery School. One of my best friends is in the Mystery School, so
right.
I am as familiar as an outsider can be.
Yes.
And it's amazing work.
It really is. You know, I mentioned that I started my study about 6 years ago, and my life was very, very, very different, and I was very closed down and asleep. You know, although I didn't realize I was. But it inside of me, there was a burning question. If life felt like it was throwing itself at me, but that just did not make sense to me, that we would be having this experience and not, you know, just having events happen to us and not having any control over those or any participation in what happened. So the question inside of me is, you know, why am I here? What is this about? Because I was sad, and I just didn't ring true that this would be the way life was meant to be. And at that point, I went to a shaman, and I asked her to help me. And she gave me, we sat down, and I had a tarot reading with her, and she was very good. And at that time, she said to me, well, you're a light worker. And, you know, the truth is, I didn't really know what she meant by that, but it resonated inside me so much. And now when I look back, I realize my soul was, you know, just lighting up. But the sound of it, and I knew there was something really good inside of me that I needed to reach. And more, I needed to reach it because I needed to share it and bring it out and share it with other people. And I always knew that was there and that I'd lost it. Because I remember feeling that way when I was a child. And that began the start of my journey. And at that point, when I received my first initiation onto the path with the Mystery School, it was like all of a sudden I realized that not only was I this physical being, but more than that, I was a spiritual being, and I've always been, and magic just started to happen. And the magic that happened was, you know, nature would communicate with me, and you know, I would get messages from nature and from animals, and I started to listen to the wind, I started to be aware of my breath, all kinds of magical things, and I started to see synchronicities happening in my life. And as I started to recognize this, I started to realize, there's so much more for me to learn and for me to have understanding about. And it just spurred me on. And, you know, a year or two after my first initiation was when I stepped onto the shamanic path. I learned some healing tools, some amazing tools, life activation and a variety of different things that I had received myself in this process of awakening that absolutely changed my life. And I just wanted to be able to do that for others. And I love it. I absolutely love it. I see miracles happen every day with my clients and in the center that we have down here in Florida.
And you have a partner that you work with in Florida.
Yes.
I noticed on your website.
Mm-hmm. Barbara Segura, and she's a wonderful, caring earth mother, very much an earth mother. Yeah. And she's also a shaman as well. And we do a lot of work together.
And she's a shaman in a different tradition, I would think, kind of trained very differently.
Well, her background is very interesting. Barbara and I are, she's a little bit older than me, and we have completely different backgrounds. I was born and raised in England. Well, I've been backwards and forwards all my life, but a lot of my time was spent in England. Barbara was, her mother was Native American. And her father was a blue-eyed blonde from Switzerland. Now, her father died when she was very young, but she was raised with the Native American tradition, but her mother was also a Catholic, and so Barbara was raised with a very strong Catholic background. And so she's such an interesting person because it's such a unique mix, and she loves both of those aspects.
Right.
Catholicism is, you know, it has the ritual and the ceremony, and she takes the beauty from that. You know, she also has a deep understanding of, you know, the Native American lineage and tradition. And she's also a Celtic shaman as well through the Modern Mystery School Solomonic lineage as well. So she's a very unique individual to work with, very powerful person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to... My training was much more nonlinear, and one of the people I studied with had studied in the Philippines with psychic surgeons, so they were shamans with a Catholic background. So was shamanism wrapped in a lot of Catholicism, which was absolutely fascinating. And my other mentor was a Cherokee medicine man who gave me access to lots of ceremonies, lots of circles, lots of places where there were many, many healers that, again, white people would not normally ever get together with.
Right.
So I got, without the formality, but, you know, the way apprenticeship works, you follow your teacher around and you're quiet most of the time and you absorb things. And drive him strange places because he asked, you know. And so I have a sense of more of a sense of your friend's background than of the more structured way that the mystery school operates. But I have an understanding.
The beautiful thing about the way the mystery school operates is that the thing that Barbara loved about the school is that it brought together many, many, many different paths, because within the lineage, the Solomonic or King Solomon's lineage, he gathered all of the priests and priestesses and oracles and shamans from all over the world. So within that, there is Wicca, there's Druidism, there's Egyptian, there's Native American, there's Enochian, there's many, many, many paths. There's Buddhism, many paths within it, and it is done in the old way. It's called the Modern Mystery School. That's what's interesting, because we think of shamanism as an old path, the way that you're speaking about, the way you learned, which is, wouldn't that be wonderful if we could all learn that way? But it's not open to everybody, like you said, right? But the Modern Mystery School is called the Modern Mystery School because it's for modern times, for people to have that opportunity to receive these ancient teachings in a way that is, we don't have to go on pilgrimages, in the mountains, although that is part of the path at some point. But it's easier for us to access, although it's absolutely authentic. The fruits of my tree are just amazing as a result of it. But it's just a different way, to step on a path, and a very, very good one.
And one of the things that one of the ways you describe yourself, but I think it's also partly the sense of ritual within the mystery school, is as a priestess. And how do you see the role of the shaman as being different from the priestess? And where are those functions, and what are those functions? What are the differences?
The priestess path that I walk is very much to do with using the elements in earth-based elemental magic.
Mm-hmm.
Blending those elements in different ways and methods, from baths to oils to candle, air magic, that sort of thing, and blending those to create what we call low magic. Low magic is to do with the earth and to do with, bringing in physical change, right?
Mm-hmm.
The shamanic work that I do is really a lot to do with clearing of energy and making the way clear in energetically for people to, and for myself, to receive the light, to receive the knowledge and the experience and wisdom that they need in order for their soul's growth. A lot of the shamanic practice that we do is temple work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is individual healing work, where we do a lot of the clearing type work. A lot of it is house clearing and blessing work, ritual and ceremony as well. So the two are different, very different in the magic that they create.
Mm-hmm. Well, in some of the things you said bring up fascinating questions for me. If there's a low magic, there's also a high magic. So what's the high magic, and what's the difference?
Okay, so that's a great question. So high magic is the type of magic that we do when we're working with very high energy, high vibrational beings, such as, you know, we're doing working with angelic beings, Enochian magic or Egyptian high magic. And the high magic is designed for the transformation of you know, higher things, collective consciousness for humanity, you know, transformation for the planet, for the globe, that type of thing. Okay? So it's a bigger, wider, less physical and immediate type magic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. You know, low magic is working with the elements to create something in the physical, you know, here and now, which is good. It's very, very good magic. High magic is for a much larger perspective, and you're working with different types of beings, angelic beings, gods and goddesses.
And is that more of what gets done as a group in temple work, or is that stuff that you also work yourself in your practice?
A bit of both. The temple work absolutely is a high magic. And that is when many, many people from all over the world gather as ritual masters to do this high magic together within the temple. And then most of us that have that lineage and those initiations work with these angelic beings through a system of Enochian magic and Egyptian magic. And that may be in our personal rituals every day, where we're just working with bringing, you know, the highest of vibrations into our own lives, because we're all a part of the collective consciousness. And we may work it with a group on the astral to bring about, you know, bring in higher energy to shift and change things within the collective consciousness as well. But the majority of our work is in temple.
And that's when groups get together, people from all over get together at whatever location you're doing it.
Yes.
And my understanding is the temple is not a place by itself. It's a energetic space that you create wherever the group meets.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, so that people don't think you have this building somewhere that's the temple.
No,
so
the temple is absolutely constructed with sacred geometries and ritual, and then there are very sacred items that are brought into that blessed space that help to anchor that energy into the temple, into the physical. But it creates a energetic structure for these higher beings, for us to go up and for the higher beings to meet us and come down a little bit too. It's an amazing opportunity in the end.
Well, I want to make sure before we go to break that you give your contact information. What's your website?
The website is shamansblessings.com, and the telephone number is 239-947-0000. And if
Great.
Anybody is interested in, looking into the Modern Mystery School, we're an affiliated light center, but the Mystery School website is modernmysteryschool.com.
Terrific. Okay, we're going to break in just a minute for some messages. First, I want to give the call-in number so that if we have, I hope we have people listening that will have questions or comments, and we can have more people in the conversation. That number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. So you can give us a call after the break. And join the conversation. So we will be back in just a few minutes on the Farkas Files here on Empower Radio. Don't go anywhere.
How do you wake up the entire African-American community to the hidden issue of mental health problems?
It showed up in my life through one of my best friends. And we've been friends for over 30 years.
Share your story.
If we would have known earlier, you know, we would have been much more supportive with her.
Once I reached out to my sister, it got a little better. Once I told my mother, it got a little better. The more I talked about it, I felt it coming off.
The healing is in me, and the healing in a journey can also be extended to others.
It's our community and our mental health.
Giving voice to what you're feeling is part of the healing.
If you're strong enough to just open your mouth, that's all it takes.
And the most revolutionary and healing thing that Black people can do right now is to love one another.
It's time to share ourselves. Healing starts with us. Search online for stories that heal. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and the Stay Strong Foundation.
Hi, sweetheart. Is my adorable grandson in school?
Yep, just dropped him off. Is your hair getting whiter, or is that paint?
Oh, I'm painting your room.
Did you take down my David Cassidy posters?
I painted over them.
Ma!
Just kidding.
Why were you painting my old room?
You had a purple room.
Moby Grape.
Well, we're upsizing. We're hosting a foreign exchange student from Cairo. A teenage girl.
What about me and your grandson?
I think it'll be a great experience for everybody.
We'll never see you. You'll be taking her to the museum and the zoo.
You know how great it'll be for little Ryan to experience another culture? He could learn another language, new customs.
I never thought of that. Got an extra paintbrush?
The time is now. Open up your life. Find out how to have a foreign exchange student live with you. Every family has something special to share. Go to hoststudents.org. That's hoststudents.org.
Ryan could learn to speak Arabic.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow, awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with with my guest Samantha Banks. And again, I want to give the call-in number. That is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Give us a call. Join the conversation. So we've talked about all kinds of different ways that you've been trained. Tell me a little bit about the kinds of work you do and the kinds of situations where you help people. I know that could run the gamut, but...
Yeah, it's different every day. But I'll tell you one thing I do notice very much is that generally there is a theme running in the collective consciousness that shows itself up in the clients as they call or come in for work. And what I mean by that is sometimes, and it's different every week. It could be that, you know, people are stuck in, emotional situations that bring them back to a certain age group and they're acting out of that, from that mental space. I see that sometimes. Sometimes the poverty, mentality or lack mentality will show itself, and people will come in and they're in fear of you know, what's going to happen, and generally that has a lot to do with what's going on in the media and in politics, and it really does You know, it really does affect the collective consciousness. So usually what we derive from that, we every other week hold a ceremony circle for our initiates and for those that are just looking for a place to call home and to feel connected and to feel loved and safe. And it's called Ritual Night. And usually what we do is we take the particular theme of the collective consciousness that we've witnessed, and we look for an antidote. So if what we're seeing is apathy and people are not able to move forward or don't know which direction to go, or they're just lacking passion, then what we will choose is to bring in the energy of passion. And how we do that is through our ritual work, through you know, calling in and directing those energies. And we do that in a circle, and we talk a lot about it. We talk about what that means in our life and how, you know, how we experience passion and how we can bring more passion to ourselves, because we understand that as, you know, initiates, we have been granted more power to be able to make those changes and to make affect the collective consciousness with our work and with our ritual work. So when there's a group of us together, we really create a lot of light. And then we, when we do that through our ritual, through our meditation, through our good intentions, through our actions, through our words, and then we send that out to one another, to our community, to our state, to the country, to the world, and we really do see its effects creating miracles in our lives and, you know, on a larger scale as well. We kind of look at what's going on in the community and how people are shifting. So that's one of the things we do. We also see people individually. With the shamanic practices that we talked about, one of the most powerful tools that I have is something called a life activation. And The life activation works with the spiritual and the physical DNA because we are spiritual and physical beings. Part of the process of having this physical human experience is that we forgot. Well, we remembered when we were small, very small, but as life happened and we went to school and you know, had our programming experiences, we forget that we're spiritual beings. So receiving a life activation is about helping to remember who you are and why you're here and where you're going. So it's very instrumental in helping people move forward and out of things that are keeping them from living their true purpose. That's one of the first things that everybody should receive, a life activation. And if you haven't had one, David, I will recommend some people, or I'll send Frank up there to give you one.
Well, Frank and Lynn took care of me during my surgery, and they and Lynn did a life activation on me, I think, in my stupor state. She may have done more initiations that I'm not even aware of. But
well, I will give you an example. There's one of our initiates, and she's now gone quite far down the path, actually, because she's just seen so many wonderful things happen in her life. She first initiated in August of last year. And prior to the initiation, a week or two before she had her life activation, generally what happens when somebody receives a life activation is they're propelled forward and they want to do more. They want to know more. They want to grow spiritually and physically. And here's what I always say to people, just as a side note, David, if what you're doing spiritually, you know, if your study spiritually is not creating change in your physical life, then you're missing something. Because the reality of our experience right now, where we're interfacing, is as human beings. And our spiritual healings and practice should absolutely be helping us to transform here in the physical, to be better people, to become more purposeful in our life and to create. So Kathy had her life activation and as a result of that decided that she wanted to go ahead and initiate. And she did. And about 2 months ago, we were actually doing another initiatory class, of which Kathy, the already initiated person, was participating in as an audit and helping us to hold energy. And she said, I just want to say something. I went and had my cholesterol checked, and I am just amazed. And we said, well, what? She said, well, a year ago, before I initiated, my cholesterol was really high. It was 199. And she said, I went and had it tested the other day, and she said, I cannot believe this. It's down something like 45 points. And she said, you know, I have not changed anything really about the way I'm eating, but I know it has to do with the life activation and my initiation. And that was real concrete, tangible proof for her. It was the fruit of her tree that she said, wow, you know, this is amazing. It's affecting me and my physical healing, and I feel so much better for it. So life activation works on so many, many levels, from the physical, you know, the body, the soul, and to some degree the spirit. And so that is one of the things that I always recommend. Another popular shamanic tool that we have is an emotional cord cutting. And those are really relevant when we have emotional, negative emotional discord with other people, as we do in our life. Those cords, they have energy. They connect us to all of the people. They last 7 years. Anybody that we have negative emotional cords with. And that can be very draining. And also, we are not fully accountable for our own emotions, because a lot of what we are reacting to emotionally isn't even ours. So when we give somebody a cord cutting, it feels very much like you just took off a really heavy coat. And as the practitioner, as the shaman doing the cord cutting, that's what it feels like. It can feel very thick and heavy, the energy, when we're cutting those cords. It's heavy, you know. People are walking around with this heavy, draining energy. And what it does is it allows the person that has received the cord cutting to get some emotional clarity and some pavement between them and their emotional reactions to things. It allows them to become emotionally responsible and to be able to respond as opposed to react, which is a very valuable tool. As I found out today, I was driving along and I need to do a U-turn at a traffic light, and I have pretty much mastered my emotions at this point. And there was somebody that was kind of blocking the traffic, and so I tooted my horn just to let her know, hey, can you just scoot up a little bit, please? And, her emotional reaction was one of anger. And she really, you know, she didn't even know where I was coming from. It was just an observation I made. Wow, that's interesting. how people emotionally react to things without even taking the time to stop and think and assess and, you know, where am I at with this? Why is this going on? You know? Emotional cord cuttings are really valuable. They taught me that very much, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just cleaning up everything that's from somewhere other than within yourself.
Yeah. Or that is connected to those buttons within yourself so that you can really see what is yours and what is not. Because when you have the, it's kind of like, you know, taking the wool from your eyes and being able to see. When you can see, you can start to be responsible and you can start to clear up your own stuff. You know, it's there in front of you and you go, oh, okay, I understand why that pushed my button now. You know, and just be accountable for your own reactions. It's really very valuable. I had a client call me today, as a matter of fact, I had seen her about 6 weeks ago, and I do tarot readings, psychic intuitive readings, and her situation was a relationship, and it was not a healthy relationship, and I could see that it wasn't, and it was very obvious, and that was the energy and information that was coming through. It was not what she wanted to hear. But I don't operate like that. I'm pretty straightforward. And I said, you know, look, let's give you a cord cutting, and we'll do something else called a spell removal as well, which sounds spookier than it is. And today she called me, and she said, I want to see you again. You really helped me last time, and I feel so much clearer in my relationship, and I just want a little bit more guidance from you, because I think, you know, because I'm clearer, and I'm looking ahead now. I want to know, you know, I want to find a way to move forward. So Tuesday when I see her, I'm going to offer her a life activation. Because now she's clearer mentally and emotionally. Now she's ready to move forward. You know, so those are some of the things that we do, among many other things. Tomorrow is an interesting day, a house clearing and a house blessing. So.
Well, now you're getting into the area that I deal with a lot, house clearing. So I'm glad there are many, many people out there doing it because it's very important work.
And
there's so many different levels to clear when you're doing house clearing work.
Yeah. And it's different every time too.
Yep.
So that's tomorrow. We do a lot of different teachings and meditations and healings and whatnot. We have a great time. We have a great center and a great group of people.
So what's the next thing that you're working on at this point?
Wow. That is a big question.
Didn't want it to be a hard question.
It's not hard. I'm consulting how to answer it. You know, next year is 2012, and, you know, you mentioned in your intro how there are many, many changes and many catastrophic and chaotic things happening on the planet. And it's true. I mean, you know, you can't, you know, deny that this is one of the most transformative times that any generation, I think, that is on the planet alive today has seen. And it's a pivotal point in the evolution of humanity. indeed, of the universe, and all of the souls that are here having this part of their eternal experience. So our work at this particular point is very much focused on bringing light to our human family, very much focused on working on compassion and love and non-judgment within, directed towards ourselves and our friends and family, and working towards directing that type of energy towards the collective consciousness and all of the people within our lineage are working and focused on that, not just Barbara and I and our initiates, but all of us within the school, and that's our focus. And that happens in many, many ways, through us bringing people forward for initiation, from the work that we do all together, as initiates astrally, and to the temple work and warrior work that we do. We'll be gathering a lot more together. And I invite everybody that is compelled to step up onto a path of service and initiation to, you know, contact the school, contact us. We need human beings to wake up, to start being accountable for our planet and all of the things that are happening. It's the structure, the infrastructure of our world is not serving us, and it goes so very, very deep, and it needs to change. So we're all about bringing in the change and bringing in the hope and finding new ways to do that, not just from a healing perspective, but real tangible things. You know, like we're Goodney Goodnesson, the founder, not the founder of our school, but the grand master of our school. He's very much a visionary, and we're looking at building dome homes, which are completely self-sustainable. They're kind of off the grid. You know, you're mm-hmm. off the grid from electricity and water, and you can sustain, you can create free food, you know, grow your own vegetables, have your own fish in these homes, and they're really inexpensive to build. They are, you would like this, David, because from the perspective of, you know, keeping a structure clean and clear, mm-hmm. because they're domes, because of the geometries that are there, because there are no walls, huge difference. Keeps the aura clean. So those are some of the things that we're looking into doing. In fact, Barbara has acreage. That's my partner on her, at her house. So we're going to all get together and build a dome, an aquaponic dome. Back there, cool. And grow our own fruits and vegetables. It will feed 600 people, and wow. we're going to create a co-op so that, you know, people can have, you know, they don't have to worry about, you know, food and there's just so much going on right now, you know, in the world that we're looking like, okay, well, how can we create a better future, a better way, energetically, spiritually, and physically? That's our focus. I very much want to be a part of the solution and not the problem.
Right. Well, we do live in very interesting times, which, of course, is the Chinese curse. You know, may you live in interesting times.
Yeah.
And that comes with both challenges and incredible experiences that we would not be able to experience at any other time on this planet. So Agreed. There's a lot, a lot of us here doing the healing work and helping the planet through this transition and change, and all of humanity with it. But the planet is going through a lot.
Certainly is an exciting time. I look at my children and I look at what I'm doing, and I'm just astounded that those of us that are here right now, all of us, chose this time to come. because it's really just the future's in our hands. The now is in our hands, right? We are the creators. It's just an amazing time to be alive. I see it as a time of great hope. Creativity and for new vision, you know? And I see a lot of people wanting to be a part of that. And I find that really exciting.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time. Yeah. So tell us again how people can contact you.
They can contact us through the website, which is shamansblessings.com. The shop telephone number is 239-947-0000. And I also have an email, which is shamansblessings@live.com. And the other way of contacting the school, if you are somewhere else in the world or even in another state, we have there are places all over the world and all over the United States. And so the mystery school is modernmysteryschool.com. However, if you want to speak with a person, I am happy to assist in any way and direct you in the right way.
And you're located in what town in Florida?
Bonita Springs, in Southwest Florida.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your being on with us. This has been a wonderful evening together. I want to let people know what's going to be happening for the next few weeks on the Farkas Files and on Empower Radio. Next Thursday is obviously Thanksgiving, and the studio that we use will be closed, so there will be no programming on that evening. So you'll have to make it through the entire week without the Farkas Files. But we'll be coming back the week after. And I had the great pleasure of spending time with and interviewing Dr. E. Haleakala Hugh Len, who is the chief teacher and programming and focal point of a lot of the understanding about Ho'oponopono. And which is an amazing process of self-forgiveness, and through forgiving yourself and clearing yourself, changing not only your experience of the world, but the world itself. I got to spend some time with him in Boston and do an interview with him, and that recorded interview will be on the week after Thanksgiving. The week of Thanksgiving, there won't be any live programming. So I'm really looking forward to having that on the air. It was very, very exciting. And for some of you that know more about my practice, you know that I teach everybody Ho'oponopono. If you're interested in hearing more about my work and getting in touch with me, please go to househealing.com, househealing.com. And on the contact tab, you will cleverly find all the various ways of getting in touch with me. This is it's been an interesting time for me because there's so many people showing up that need the kind of work that I'm doing and that Samantha's doing at this point, who are realizing that there are things going on in their house or in their life where they need some kind of help. So it's a very, very exciting time. So I want to wish everybody happy, happy holidays. Enjoy your family next week on Thanksgiving, and we will be back the week after Thanksgiving on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio.